Hi, this is Martha with another Animal World tip. With the warmer weather coming, something I'm sure we'd all rather not think about, fleas. But if you want to keep fleas off your animal friends and out of your house, and if you'd prefer to do that holistically with all natural stuff rather than with toxic chemicals, now is the time to get prepared and start paying attention. The good news is, it's not difficult or majorly time-consuming to keep your animals and living environment flea-free, naturally. But you do need to know what you're doing, and there are four steps involved for complete success. Step one is preventative and involves making your dog or cat friend unattractive to fleas. Fleas are not attracted to healthy animals. They like animals that are unhealthy and physically out of balance, and one of the most important factors keeping your animals healthy is what you feed them. I recommend you start by feeding the highest quality, all-natural diet you can. This can consist of processed, dry and or canned, dehydrated, home-cooked, raw, or a combination of several of these types of food. Whatever you choose to feed, I suggest you add the Missing Link supplement to provide what's missing in the foods themselves, especially the omega-3 and 6 oils, essential for healthy skin. For critical flea months, say May through October or November, you can add a supplement to your dog or cat's food to help repel fleas. Bodyguard, a yeast and sulfur formula, and Vetline, yeast and garlic, are two products that I have found to be successful. Some animals may require additional supplementation to be healthy, like antioxidants, probiotics, or digestive enzymes. A good holistic veterinarian can help you get this right. The better you feed your animal friends, the healthier and less attractive to fleas they're going to be. Step two is to get rid of fleas on your animals and then keep them off. At this time of year, unless your situation is an unusual exception, you have no fleas on your animals yet. So right now, this step is all about paying attention and prevention, so the fleas don't get a jump on you and get established in your home and yard. If you allow your animals to leave your environment or take them off your property, especially if it's to a potential flea area, like a dog park, it's a good idea to spritz them with a natural herbal flea repellent spray. My favorites are products made with erigeron, also known as fleabane or neem. You can get these products from holistic vets or naturally inclined pet stores. I spritz Annie Golden Retriever before we go to a questionable area, and sometimes again before we come home. During flea season, which begins any time now, it's a good idea to do your regular flea checks on all your animals. Running a flea comb through your dog or cat's fur is one way to check. Comb down the middle of their back, be sure to comb around the base of their tail and also around their neck and chin. Another way is to roll them over and check their bellies, watching for fleas. For dogs with heavy coats, too thick for a flea comb, have them stand up, facing the same direction you are. Stand over them, and starting at the base of the tail, run your thumbs backwards through the fur, up the back to the neck, looking for running fleas or flea dirt. Flea dirt is tiny black specks made of dried blood. If you suspect you found some flea dirt, crush it on a wet paper towel. If it turns red, it's flea dirt. Time for a thorough flea combing. Remember to have a bowl of soapy water ready to dump any fleas you find into. Repeat this once or preferably twice a day until the fleas are gone. You might prefer to bathe your animal friend to kill fleas instead of combing. No need to use flea shampoo with insecticide. Any mild shampoo will kill fleas if you leave the lather on the animal for 2 to 3 minutes. Be sure to supervise and do not allow your animal friend to lick any of the shampoo. Step three is to get rid of fleas in your house and keep them out. If by chance you're an exception and have fleas in your house now or in the future, my first choice to get rid of them is FleaGo, a safe powder you sprinkle on floors and fabric that dehydrates the fleas. It's available at any good pet store. If you do not have any fleas in your house now, just follow the rest of my four-step flea program and you won't get any. Step four is to get rid of fleas in your yard, and this is probably the most important step of all. Keeping your outdoor environment free of fleas is truly the key to keeping fleas out of your house and off your animals. Now, you only need to do this step if you had fleas on your animal friends last year. If you did, then it's critically important to spray your yard with beneficial predatory nematodes. That's beneficial predatory predatory nematodes. They are microscopic living creatures that eat the larvae of fleas. They also do crane flies. They come in suspended animation, so to speak, and come alive when you mix them with water and spray the grassy and dirt areas around your house and yard. Because these nematodes are alive, you must wait to spray until the outdoor temperature is consistently above 50 to 55 degrees. Spray just before a rainfall or in the morning or evening and water them in well. They last about 6 to 8 weeks, and if you've had a serious flea infestation recently, you may need to spray twice the first year. The good news here is that once you get those fleas out of your outdoor environment and you practice step 1 and 2, you won't have to spray the nematodes every year. By the way, you can buy the nematodes at garden supply stores, some pet stores, and feed and grain stores. I know you may be thinking how much easier it is to use what I call the chemical quick fixes, like the liquid spot-on products, pills, or injections. And you absolutely can do that. It's your choice. But it is my opinion that these products can be dangerous to both our animal friends and our environment. And I think if you knew what I know, you wouldn't use them. Okay, so there you have it, Martha's 4-step flea prevention program. And if you need more detailed help or clarification, call me, because Animal World will be right back.
If you love dogs, tune in to The Dog Show with Julie Forbes, live every Wednesday from 2 to 3 p.m. We'll talk about everything dog and interview authors, experts, and amazing organizations, both locally and nationally. And don't even get me started on the pet food industry. I'm Julie Forbes. Find us online at www.dogradioshow.com and also as a free podcast on iTunes. The Dog Show with Julie Forbes, an evolved perspective on life with dogs.
Pam and Rochelle are Chat with Women.
Remember who you're talking to,
Mike. Hello.
Chat with Women.
Listen to Chat with Women to be informed, motivated, inspired.
Don't listen to people who tell you it's never been done before. If I had looked at the SWAT team, it was an all-male team, and thought, you know what, if I had done that, I wouldn't have had the incredible experiences.
Take 1 hour out of your day to learn and grow and change your life.
You're living in that virtual world too
much. That's right. Very virtual.
Come on out with us and play.
Every weekday morning at 8, Chat with Women on 1150 KKNW.
When the red, red robin comes bob, bob, bobbing along, along, there'll be no more sobbing when he starts throbbing his old sweet song. Oh, wake up, you sleepyhead, get up, get out of bed, cheer up, the sun is red, live, love, laugh and be happy. What if I've been blue, now I'm walking through fields of flowers. Rain may glisten, but still I listen for hours and hours. I'm just a kid again, doing what I did again, singing a song. When the red, red robin starts bob, bob, bobbing along.
The following hour of Martha Norwalk's Animal World is brought to you by Jones & Company Pets. Their goal is happy, satisfied customers enjoying happy, healthy pets.
Hey, good morning, y'all. I'm Martha Norwalk, and welcome you to the second hour of this week's edition of Animal World. We're here every Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. You can tune us in on the radio dial. You can tune us in on the internet via streaming audio. That means you can share us with your family and friends around the country, around the world, if they've got internet access. And the best way to pick up the stream is go to the Animal World website. That would be www.marthanorwalk.com. Click on the Listen Live icon in the upper right-hand corner of the homepage. That will click you through to the 1150 KKNW website. Click on Listen and Watch. That will bring up the instruction or the links that you need to stream the show. And we're going to the birds today. Debbie Goodrich, the parrot lady, is here with 4 brilliantly gorgeous macaws. One gentleman, 3 ladies. Let's see. Mike is here. Ajie's here. Kathy's taking the day off. Yeah. Hey, everybody. Woohoo. And the birds are all. Yeah.
She's saying she's pretty. Can you say pretty?
Are you
bird?
Pretty? Yay. Okay. And that that is the blue and gold.
Jesse.
Jesse speaking.
Mm-hmm. And she just likes to say hi. Can you say hi? I don't know. Oh, wait. She doesn't talk with her mouth full of food.
Oh, well, she's eating.
Uh-huh.
Oh, Jesse.
These guys are very wise. Unlike us, we tend to really like talking a lot with our mouthful of food, and that's a problem.
Hi, Jesse.
She just said hurry.
Hurry. Hi, yeah, Jesse.
We think, Jess, can you say hi?
Hi.
Yeah. And then can you also say hello?
Hello?
Well, hello? Ollie said it. How about you, Jesse? Can you say hello?
Hello.
There you go. Good job.
Oh, that's lovely. And what are you feeding them?
For the treats themselves, it's sunflower seeds, which is very addictive for parrots. So you really don't want to give them to them as a regular part of their diet. So as treats only, no problem. But as the regular diet, no, you want to give them the more holistic kinds of things, like we've been talking about for dogs and cats even. We are really changing the diets for birds, too.
That's what I've learned over the years, because when I was very young and I had two parakeets, I mean, we'd give them a bowl of seeds.
Actually, parakeets do need certain kinds of grass seeds and stuff. It is a part of the regular omega-3 fatty acids that they need in their diet.
Uh-huh.
So they do need seeds. And same thing with cockatiels. They kind of need them too. It's the sunflower seeds they don't.
That's good to know.
What you definitely want to
avoid. I mean, these days you see all kinds of vegetables and stuff in birds' diets and so forth that, you know, we didn't even know about.
Yeah, there's some really cool new concepts we're coming up with for them, too. There's a specifically formulated diet called Shauna's Mash that's on Feeding Feathers Yahoo Group. That's a formulated kind of – that's what you can give your bird as a regular diet every day because she has calculated everything out. Then there is the CHOP concept, which is just like kids, parrots don't really care for their vegetables very much. So we have to kind of chop it up. And a lovely lady by the name of Patricia Sund with Parrot Nation came up with the concept of calling it CHOP. And we just have these huge groups of people get together with all these food processors. And, yeah, let's have a food processor party. And get our parrots to eat it. But even better is that it's a really good salad topper for you. You know, so it makes – because you have things like cilantro in there as well. So it has a really good flavor. So when they're chopped it all up, I like eating it.
Okay.
I hate my vegetables too, so that's the only way I'll eat mine is with CHOP. So these guys here, I give them the Harrison's Bird Food Diet for their dry diet, which is a certified organic diet. I give these guys their vegetables, fruits, and things like that. Berries are big. And then for the macaws, because they're macaws, they do need nuts. And they need whole nuts and nuts they can crack.
Like the big Brazil nuts, those are really.
Yep.
Can they crack those?
Oh, yeah.
So that would be why they're
famous. They just did in the studio not that long ago.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Yeah. As a matter of fact, if you buy Brazil nuts, you're saving the rainforest. A lot of people don't realize that.
Oh,
because,
really?
Yeah. Because the Brazil nuts fall naturally to the forest floor, and we hire the people to collect them up. And doesn't hurt the tree, doesn't hurt anybody, doesn't, and nothing. And you're just getting money.
So Brazil nuts are good.
Brazil nuts are very good.
Caring for the environment if you buy them. Excellent.
Yes.
Excellent. All right, let's go back. We were talking about the end of the last hour. We were getting the history and story of the bird. So we were talking about these guys that don't actually belong to you, and we'll find out why you have them as we go through. But Zilla, who is the Buffon's, you know, the big green guy. And then next to him, his best friend is Lily?
Yeah, I would call it a best friend.
And Lily is a blue throat macaw, which for those, if you're like me and you don't know much, she looks like a blue and gold, but the blue throats are smaller than the blue and golds, so she's a smidge smaller, and then she has a bluer throat, like the blue and gold on your shoulder. Jessie has color on her throat, but it's a deeper.
It's black.
It's black. It's a deep.
Just like the lines on
black.
Her face.
Yeah, like the lines on her face. So this is a blue throat and smaller. So she's probably a third less the size of Zilla, the Buffons that she's on the perch with. And so tell us their personal stories.
Lily was born and raised in Texas. And she was raised by a lovely woman by the name of Wendy Craig. And with Wendy's Parrots is the name of the breeder that she got purchased from by my friend who owns her.
Do we know how old she is?
I keep forgetting, but I think it's 9 because she is my friend's bird. So I kind of tend to forget. It's kind of sad. But especially since I've been working with her forever. Anyway, so she came directly from this breeder. This breeder is fantastic because she's very much into education for people. So she does not sell just to anyone. And so when Kathy says she really would like a blue-throated macaw, she got one. Now, Kathy's living situation has been difficult at times. So sometimes what we do, just like for anybody else, if they're having a difficult time, we kind of do like a with our friends that we know each other really well. We get a strong network going where we can, you know, hey, let's just play some temporarily until you get something better going on.
Oh, okay.
So that's how I got involved a little bit more with her. I've always been involved with Kathy. She's a really, really good friend of mine. She's a fantastic asset for the whole Flight Club Foundation. She's also a part of that as well. And so having her bird with me, like actually the very first time I ever worked with Lily, from the breeder, because the breeder does believe in fledging out their babies and everything. So these guys get all flight before they even come to you.
Now, what does fledging out mean? That
fledging out means they actually get to get out. They get to be with their parents. In Wendy's case, she does pull them from the parents, but then they get to socialize as a flock together and fly together like a bird before it goes to a human.
It
learns to be a bird first, which is important. So she came from Wendy, and then as soon as she got her from Wendy, she came into me. I did a function at Emerald Downs, and Kathy decided to bring her out to that. She goes, "Oh, I think she'd be pretty good." Yeah, she was pretty good. She flew off. So I got to climb a tree for her, and we got her back no problem. But that was my introduction to Lily.
Well, now, because these guys haven't made any attempts to fly around here. I mean, do they have flight feathers pulled or clipped or whatever
it
is that you do? Can these guys fly?
Out of the four birds that I have here, only one is actually physically clipped. And that's Jessie on my shoulder. And that's because I take her to outdoor shows all the time that are very unpredictable, that I don't know what's going to happen. So I keep her close by keeping her clipped. On top of it, she's not showing as much interest as the other birds are in wanting to fly, trying to take off, winging, those kinds of behaviors. She's not really indicating any of those. And she really likes object training. So she roller skates, she plays basketball, she does all those things instead. But every time I try to elicit flight behavior, she's just like, meh, not really, not for
Have all of these birds been born in captivity?
Yes, it is very important
that they
are. So
none of these are wild-caught birds?
No.
Okay.
The only one that is wild-caught, I should say, he is technically, is Zilla.
Yeah, well, that was our next one. What's Zilla's story?
So we'll go on to him. So Zilla, he was found in a container in a ship coming in from South America. He was found in a container with a bunch of illegal South America animals. Obviously, were confiscated. Most of them were dead, including his own parents. So he came in, and we don't know his exact age, but he was fully feathered. He looks pretty much like he does now. So he's probably maybe 3 months old, 4 months old, somewhere in there at the very oldest. At the very oldest. And so he survived all of that. And so that was obviously extremely traumatic. And then he then became a part of different programs to help find more Colombian Bufons macaws. So he started traveling around for quite some time trying to find more Colombian Bufons macaws because he came in with DNA that nobody recognized. They're like, what is this? We know he's a Bufons macaw, but what's this other subspecies? Because nobody else around here has that genetic trait. And so they're trying to find out what he was about as they were, you know, trying to get the papers and everything else from his confiscation all legalized and finalized and all other stuff. So they finally got all that done. And in the meantime, while they're working on all that, they went out looking for more in Colombia. And so because that bird came in and that shipment came in, they said there's got to be more Colombian Bufons macaws because there's none in captivity, not one. And so that, at least out in the United States that I know of, I mean, Kathy might know of more. She's kind of more... the more knowledgeable on that one. But as far as he is concerned, we went out looking. And once we went out looking, we discovered a whole new, not a whole new species, a species we thought was extinct called the yellow-eared parrot. So Zilla here, because we found him in that container ship, we went looking. And when we went looking.
And how long ago was that?
He's 9 now? No. Okay. 10? 10? So 10 years ago now?
Wow.
So now we have a yellow-eared parrot program. We thought the yellow-eared parrot was extinct.
Wow.
And now the World Parrot Trust and everybody else is on that one. So because of that bird, we went out looking. Were it not for that one bird sitting in our room right now, we probably would never have even rediscovered the yellow-eared parrot, much less discovering the desire to get these guys back to the Colombian, the Darien Gap.
But then Zilla's had some behavior issues.
Yes, you know, because of the trauma, most likely, when he's early
on. Yeah, so the trauma of being in that container and watching everybody die.
Yeah, I think has some issues. And then, so having all that kind of things as his background. And then eventually he started pulling out all of his feathers as well. So he's sitting here now. He's very feathered up.
Yeah, he looks wonderful. He's got all his feathers.
But his wings have huge holes. So so right now he can't fly, even though we have him fully flighted. Lily is also fully flighted. She flies around like a maniac.
Fully flighted means they have all their feathers?
Yep.
Is that what that means?
She can take off from here to my house if she wanted to. So all the way out in Auburn.
Yeah, well, there are windows in this house.
Yeah, kind of hard. But And then Ollie also is fully flighted as well. And she's my flight-trained flight parrot. So she actually flies for a purpose. Like we do straight flights. We can do, loop-type flights. But she only does it for indoor events. So unfortunately, I would love to fly her outside. It takes a whole other element to fly him outside than it does to fly him indoors.
Yeah, I had years ago, and I don't remember his name, but I had him on the show with me because he... he had a lot of cockatoos and other parrot type birds, but he was down in the south end, and all of his birds were free flight, and he had several that were come and go as they pleased, and they actually came and rang the doorbell and to come back in and all that stuff.
That's awesome.
It was
I hear about
amazing.
That a lot.
A lot
of anecdotals like that.
Mm-hmm.
There is a whole movement now, which is awesome, really trying to promote flying in parrots. Instead of getting them in cages, get them out there and fly. It's obviously that's what they're physiologically designed to do. So versus having them in cages all day long, they're just not mentally healthy, physically healthy when they're just sitting in there. Now, at the same time, because we have the lifestyle that we have and having them as, like you said, I don't really like the word pets, but... is that we got to figure out how it is that we can divide up our time, because our time is becoming more and more and more valuable over time, and we're having more and more and more problems with dividing our time. And so I'm trying to get people to realize that these guys, they need attention, but they don't need the attention, where you have to sit and dedicate and look at them and, play with them for hours and hours. If you got another parrot, for example, they occupy themselves, and then you can work with them more. I mean, it can be very controversial, obviously, to have them in captivity for AR groups and stuff, and trying to consider them as pets when they're still exotic, when they're still very endangered, it can be very, very complicated. Mm-hmm. And so that's one thing I love about parrots is their complicated nature, because they represent both the urban environment and the wild. And so basically I'm trying to show people parrots' adaptability to what we can offer them. And sometimes we can't offer them 24/7 attention. We just can't. And these guys can learn to adjust to that if you give them the time.
Excellent. Excellent. All right. We are going to take care of our advertisers and sponsors for the first time in this hour. I'm going to give your phone numbers because you will need them. Hint, hint, hint. Local phone number, 425-373-5527. That's 425-373-5527. Toll free is 888-298-5569. Remember the 1-888-298-5569. Animal World continues straight ahead right here with the bird, the parrot lady, Debbie Goodrich, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. Hey, did you know that even if you feed the highest quality all-natural food, even if you home cook for your animal friends, the ingredients in that food is exposed to heat, light, and oxygen, and that begins to destroy a lot of the important stuff. Well, that's why Designing Health created The Missing Link. They start with human-grade, all whole natural raw food sources. They figured out a way to protect it from heat, light, and oxygen. It comes to us in a powdered form in a resealable gold foil pouch. And you mix up your animal friend's food, add in The Missing Link, a little cool water to mix it in, and voila, you've added what's missing, like the balanced omega-3 and 6 oils, the enzymes in the raw ingredients, the fiber. Missing Link tends to eliminate excessive shedding problems in dogs, eliminates hairball problems in cats, and there is a Missing Link formula for cats. There are two for dogs, one for skin and coat, one for hip and joint. There is a bird formula. There's also a horse formula, and there's the wellness blend, which is for sensitive animals. It is a vegetarian blend, so you can feed it to both your dogs and cats and all your other little house critters as well. So ask for the Missing Link wherever you shop for premium pet supplies, or you can go directly to Designing Health. You can call them at 1-800 774-7387 or visit them online at www.designinghealth.com. And now would be the time to pick up your phone because it's time to win your choice of the Missing Link products. And the Missing Link words of the day are, it's for the birds.
Did you know that there's a gentle energy balancing method for restoring health, mobility, and athletic performance for your dog, cat, or horse? Bioenergetic synchronization, as used by Nels Rasmussen, creates transformations in health, mobility, and performance. To learn more, you can visit online, NelsHealingMinistry.com, or call 425-238-2668. That's 425-238-2668. Do you know someone with an object hoarding or animal hoarding situation? BioClean Incorporated can help. At BioClean Incorporated, you're more than a customer, you're someone they want to help. Actually, disposing of so many items can be emotionally overwhelming, and the staff at BioClean Incorporated understands this. They design a unique process specifically to meet your needs. The team at BioClean helps determine which things are valuable to the recovering hoarder and absolutely essential, what items are appropriate to clean and keep, what things can be donated to charity, and finally, what can be thrown away. The BioClean professional cleanup team are experts at eliminating odors, contaminants, and biohazards. They can arrange for any repairs, painting, or cleaning that will be needed so the house becomes habitable again. The entire staff at BioClean Incorporated combines compassion with expertise and professionalism. They understand taking that first step is the hardest. Call BioClean at 888-412-6300. That's 888-412-6300. Or visit BioCleanWA.com for more information. For the last 30 years, family-owned Bothell Feed Center has carried products for all your critters. Committed to providing high-quality, well-formulated feed and care products for guinea pigs to chinchillas, chickens to wild birds, as well as your cats and dogs. At Bothell Feed, not only will you find a large variety of products with competitive pricing, but the friendly and knowledgeable staff will recommend the best products for your particular animal friend. BothellFeedCenter.com, your modern feed store with old farm charm. Visit today.
Hi, this is Martha. Did you know that besides hosting Animal World, I'm also an animal behavior therapist and trainer with more than 40 years of professional experience? I work with you privately in your home or over the phone to help you understand your animal friends and resolve whatever behavior, training, or healing problems you've got going on. Most of my expertise is with cats and dogs, but I sometimes work with other types of animals as well. So whether it's puppies or kittens, adult dogs or cats, or elderly animal issues, I can help. Cats not using the litter box? Biting or scratching you or your furniture? Maybe they're fighting with each other or waking you up at night. I've got answers. Dogs barking too much, jumping or dragging you around the block on your walk? Does he have separation anxiety or chew up stuff he shouldn't? I've got answers. Whatever's going on with your animal friends, I will help you fix it. I am more than reasonably priced and often need to see you only once. I always do a free, no-obligation telephone evaluation, so give me a call and bug my voicemail if you need immediate attention. You'll find me at Martha's Canine, Feline, and All Creature Counseling at 360-217-7258. That's 360-217-7258, and I'd love to hear from you.
There's nothing else like it on the dial. Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
Hey, y'all, I'm Martha Norwalk, and thanks for spending your Sunday morning with us here on Animal World. Hope you do it every Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here at Alternative Talk, AM 1150. We're doing it for the birds today. The parrot lady, Debbie Goodrich, is here in person with birds on her shoulders, birds on her knees, birds on perches, birds, birds, birds everywhere. We've got Zilla, we've got Lily, we've got Jesse, and we've got Ollie. Yay!
Didn't forget Ollie.
We've talked about Zilla's history, and Zilla has, you know, had the biggest trauma being found in a container. We know that Lily came from a breeder in Texas, a good breeder. And that Zilla's had some behavior issues as a result of the trauma and being a young guy, but as a result of being found in that container, a thought to be extinct variety of subspecies of bird was discovered. Now, how about these are two of your personal birds.
Yep.
On your shoulder is Jessie. She's a blue and gold macaw. What's her story?
How are you?
How are you?
She just wants to talk a lot right now. Jessie's story is that she was born and raised in Minnesota with a breeder called Best Pet Incorporated for Rainforest Cafe. Rainforest Cafe had live birds at all 27 store locations from 1994 until the late 2000. And wow. Then in late 2000, they decided to retire the bird program and kind of redefine and refinance everything because we were purchased by a new company. And they decided, you know, as far as the restructure, that the birds would be removed or retired.
Uh-huh.
So we had a very, very short time to, you know, get these birds who were comfortable and used to having 8 hours of attention every day to then living in people's homes. So,
because they were like in the restaurants.
They were in the restaurants.
So they were had constant attention.
Yes.
Oh, I see.
And then we had shows where they're out in the public.
And you say
hours.
We, so you were involved with this organization?
Yes, I was the curator in charge of that. So I was the salaried manager of Birds and Fish there at Rainforest Cafe. I was a animal care specialist from 1996 until 1999, and then became a curator of the Rainforest Cafe in Seattle from 1995.
Were there others around the country?
Yeah, there's 27. Okay. 1999 to 2005. They don't really have a curator kind of thing anymore because it's just fish now. And so they have just like it's more like your regular just fish staff or fish maintenance kinds of things. So I don't know if they have if they call it a curatorial position anymore or not. That I don't know because I know from the whole restructuring, they're just trying to eliminate lots of positions. It wasn't just the animals that got eliminated. It was a whole bunch of management positions as well. So it was to keep the company running, and I understood that. And so we just had to make do with what we had and move on.
Okay.
So in my case, I moved on from there. I took Jesse and Ollie that were on that program.
So both of these birds were from that.
Yeah. And they were my main primary outreach birds that we saw 26,000 students in that 1 year alone from 1999 to 2000. So we saw, and then we got a 4% return on that. But a lot of, unfortunately, a lot of the curators, a lot of the management and stuff, we didn't really put together a whole marketing plan or things. And so we just didn't really realize how much money we could potentially make from that and or work with it. So they just didn't really understand the full depth. And I'm like, okay, well, I'll move on and I will have these guys be with me. So I started the Parrot Lady in 2001. We opened up the business, licensed it and everything in that year. And got the business license name, you know, made sure nobody else was called the Parrot Lady, and everything was cool. And
okay,
so we moved on.
So tell us about then what is the Parrot Lady?
The Parrot Lady is taking my
besides
Rainforest
it being
Cafe.
You,
yeah,
okay.
Basically it's me taking the previous outreach Rainforest Cafe birds to continue outreach. We had such a demand at Rainforest Cafe for over 5 years with the birds gone. I mean, they've been gone, and they still get calls sometimes even to this day. Once in a while, they'll get a call, can you bring the birds in? It's been years since they've been there. So that's how much impact we had, and I wanted to keep that impact going. We really appreciate having children get more involved with parrots and understand them, not necessarily to get that impulse buy. We want them to get understanding them, where they're from, the whole dynamic about being around parrots. And kids have really grown in empathy, their ability to empathize with the parrots. I've worked with every age group you can name, anywhere from one-year-olds all the way up to 92-year-olds and high school parties. Here's all these kids you would think are going crazy, and they all calm right down when the birds are there.
Mm.
So it's just really amazing. And it's the amazement of doing every show that I do that keeps me going every day.
So,
and having these people going, wow, I had no idea that. Whatever it is. I mean, just name it, and they're really amazed. So
when you do a show, what kind of places do you go to do shows?
Anywhere, everywhere, you name it. The only thing I haven't done yet is funerals, but I don't think they want me to come to them. But my own birds, Ollie, actually, on my knee, she flew my ring down the aisle at my wedding.
Oh.
Jesse on my shoulder was one of my bridesmaids' bouquets.
Oh, how fun.
Rudy was too. He's my other bridesmaid bouquet. And then my little squirt Jade, who I got back into parrots for, that he's not here. That guy is 18 years old, and I met him when he was 6 hours old from another really good breeder.
Wow.
And he was the one who made me decide on who to marry for a husband. So I exchanged him along with the ring at the wedding. So
fun.
It was really fun. We had some really fun videos.
So obviously your husband is cool with the birds, huh?
Cool enough anyway.
Yeah.
It can be very testing at times, that's for sure. Because you're living with a bunch of two-year-old children that like to make a mess and don't clean it up. So it can be tough.
Well, yeah. So, yeah, birds is not having birds. Well, years and years and years ago, I mean, a lot of people thought that having birds was as an easy pet, you know, just in a cage.
Put them in a cage, you're done. Yeah,
right,
yeah.
But it's not that simple.
No.
And they do require a lot of maintenance, and they do need attention and entertainment and all of that sort of
yep.
stuff.
You basically set them up to where they literally have their time, just like we set up our toddlers, for independent play. They should have that. They should be able to play independently. They should be able to have toys and stuff that they play with independently that keep them occupied. They should have things where they're not just in a bowl in one place that they have to go looking for it for their food. Those are all things that will keep these guys occupied. So when you're at work, don't be guilty about them going to work. Don't. Because a lot of people are, and they like, I just can't give them time. And I said, you can give them time by you coming home and just giving them the time you can and change it up every day. Don't have it the same every day, because that's not what they get in the wild. They get a very big, diverse day every day in the wild. So do the same for them here with us.
Well, that makes sense. Now, so with the parrot lady, we had talked earlier that you were only going to be here for the first 2 hours of the show because you were going to a birthday party. So you do outreach, you do education.
And entertainment.
And you do entertainment as well. So in the outreach program, you do what? Like go to schools and...
Yep. Schools, street fairs, weddings. I've actually done several more besides my own, including receptions and stuff. We even had the ring fly down somebody else's wedding, which was pretty cool. We do therapy assistance. I've worked with a lot of ADHD type kids and calm them down with the birds. They calm straight down. I've worked with, pretty much any group of human beings you can name. We've pretty much worked with them. Church groups. Talking about these guys and how they're living out in the wild. I mean, we reach just about anyone that's in Western Washington. We haven't gone to Eastern Washington yet, though.
Now, for the outreach program and the education program, do you charge for doing that?
We do. Okay. It's basically essentially give an estimation, it's about $100 an hour is the way it works out.
Okay.
So the show itself is $100 to come out, and it's a $50 trip charge to come out per every 30 miles traveled from my home in Auburn. So, like, to come out here where we are in Factoria, it'd only be $150 because I'm trying to keep it low, as low as I can, so those kids that don't have as much opportunities for things can still get enriched.
And is the charge the same whether we're doing outreach, education, or entertainment?
It's what I call
kind
educational
of all the
entertainment.
Same sort of
yeah.
Thing.
Okay. I presented a thing that's fun, so they want to learn more about it. So.
Okay. So it's kind of like the same sort of deal. So when you say like you were going to do a birthday party. It's entertainment, but it's also education.
Absolutely.
So are these like the four birds that you usually take?
Nope.
Do you switch it up? I mean, there's a pen.
Yeah, I brought these guys because I really wanted to feature Lily and Zilla today. But obviously, like, Lily tends to fly around in people's houses and stuff, so she doesn't go as often.
Lily?
Yeah, huh? She goes, I like flying around like a crazy maniac instead of on purpose. And so she sometimes doesn't come along. I bring them periodically, but not as frequently as Ollie, Jesse. These are my core birds that do the shows, are Ollie and Jesse. And then Cassie, now that I have her doing all these wonderful little behaviors and tricks that Tawny.
And which one is Cassie?
She's that little black cap caique that stands about 3.5 inches tall from feet
to
head.
Oh, okay. So more like parakeet size.
Yeah. So people can see the diversity in size parrots come in. Because people think that a parakeet is not a parrot, but it is. Cockatiel is a parrot, too. A lot of people don't realize that.
Yeah.
So we're trying to, and or I'll ask adults, hey, how do you tell a bird's a bird? And the adults will be like, they have a beak. They have bright colors. And I'm like, they have feathers. So it's just really eye-opening for people to kind of just, you would think that with such basic information, everybody would know it. But really, it's amazing how a lot of people go, oh, hey, whoa, I didn't know that. And that's so basic, but yet so complex. You know, so it's really fun.
So your birds, they obviously talk.
Yeah.
And they do tricks as well. And you talked about one of these birds, is that Jesse that likes to do stuff like
roller skate
and that sort of thing?
Play basketball, like any retrieval kinds of things. Roller skating took Jesse about 9 months to learn because it's completely unnatural. And we actually talk about the complete unnaturalness of it. in the show itself. So she's sitting there, you know, roller skating, and people are going, wow, that's really cool. That's really amazing. And she does it so well and so easily.
Okay, so I'm trying to get a picture of this. Now, does she have little bird-sized roller skates she puts on her little feet? Or does she get on a human-sized roller skate and you push her around? I mean, what is bird roller skating?
It's an actual design skate for birds.
Oh, okay. So she does have bird roller skates.
Bird roller skates, yeah. And it looks like little triangles. I mean, I actually have them with me, but we just don't have a lot of table space to roller skate on for her tail because she's so long.
Yeah.
But, she can turn on her skates. She plays basketball on her skates. She can pick shapes on her skates. She can dance while on her skates. So Jessie's just a ham.
That?
Yeah, she's a big ham. And we just actually did a commercial for Cruisin' Rum. It's like a pre-website commercial for them, and where she was doing, like, trying to learn new words. And that's, a lot of people expect a parrot to talk. And I'm like, well, yes, parrots can talk. All of them can. Even if it's a parakeet that big, that's tiny, they talk. They talk well. And they can do behavior and performance just as well as the big guys can. You don't need a big guy to get them to do cool things. And so with Jessie, it was really frustrating teaching her the roller skating thing because she just could not figure out how to push her feet past each other because a parrot doesn't do that ever.
Right.
They have long toes in front and back. They have to pick up their feet, you know, to walk around and move around. They don't ever scoot. They don't even know what scooting is.
Right.
So to take something they had absolutely no concept of to try to get them to push it past each other's feet, like skateboarding, all you have to do is hold a foot and then the other foot can walk normal.
Right.
So that's easy to teach.
Okay.
Because it still has some intrinsic behavior.
Yeah.
But roller skating has absolutely no physiology that can support it, no intrinsic anything when it comes to roller skating.
So how did you teach it?
How do you teach it? You basically have lots of patience. And you just try to make sure that they keep those skates on the surface is what you got to do. And then move a skate and then try to get the other one to move past the other skate. It's getting past the other skate that's the hardest. Once the bird learns that, oh, move it past the other foot. Once they finally go, aha, that's when life goes great. But sometimes they might not get it. And you as a trainer might get way, way, way like, I'm done. I can't figure this out. I can't figure out how to train them to do it. And that's when one of the things we really face as a problem is the whole, like, patience. You have to have lots and lots and lots of it. And observation, like watching them and see how they're doing with it too.
All right. Well, we are going to take care of our advertisers and sponsors for the last time in this hour. So, birds, hold on. And we will continue more with Debbie Goodrich, the parrot lady, straight ahead right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150.
In Clover is introducing a new canine skin and coat supplement called Glow. Glow is a revolutionary new soft chew clover shaped supplement that gets into the root issues of optimal skin and coat health. Glow combines a complete blend of clinically tested DHA gold omega-3, biotin and zinc along with a bioavailable and tasty nutrition from the whole fresh eggs to allow Glow to work from the inside out to nourish and soothe our dog's skin. Get Glow for your dog's comfortable skin and shiny coat. Go to inclover.com for more information and where to buy.
Hey, since 1978, Puget Sound area animal owners have been able to depend on Jones & Company Pets for all of their animal care needs. At Jones & Company, their spacious store allows room for everything you need for your animal companions. You can find foods, accessories, fish supplies, supplements, cleaning products, and a whole lot more. The store within a store concept makes it easy to find the right products for your dog, cat, fish, bird, or exotic animal friend. And Jones & Company rigorously trains their staff so they can easily answer all of your questions. I want you to visit Jones & Company. You'll find them on State Avenue in Marysville. Give them a call at 360-658-7817. At Jones & Company Pets, their goal is happy, satisfied customers enjoying happy and healthy pets.
Give your dog, cat, or ferret the gift of great health naturally. Make NuPro all-natural supplements an essential part of your pet's diet. NuPro makes an awesome gravy, sure to please. This gravy provides fresh nutrients for a beautiful, silky skin and coat, strong immune system, and healthy digestion, among other wonderful benefits. NuPro's joint support formula is perfect for working dogs, large breeds, and especially seniors. So go with NuPro, your pet's best friend for over 20 years. Visit online at NuProSupplements.com for more information. Have you ever wondered about the healing potential of the human-animal bond? This potential is the core of Dr. Penny Lloyd's veterinary practice, as her goal is to help animals and people heal each other. She does this utilizing holistic veterinary care, therapeutic interaction skills, and human-animal health games.
Working mostly with horses, but now also incorporating small animals into her practice, Dr. Penny is available throughout the greater Seattle area by appointment. Learn more at connectionthebestmedicine.com or call 360-502-1114. That's 360-502-1114.
Join Homeward Pet for a dog-loving, family-friendly walk and wine tasting on Saturday, September 14th from 12 noon to 4 p.m. in the Woodinville Hollywood Wine District and help raise funds for the homeless dogs and cats at Homeward Pet Adoption Center. The Happy Tales Wine Walk is a dog walk like no other, with special wine tastings at more than 15 Woodinville wineries, delicious food from local restaurants, fun activities for the kids, and pet-friendly fun and shopping in the dog zone. Go to homewardpet.org for more information and registration.
Hi, this is Martha Norwalk, host of Animal World, and I've got a question for you. Do you or anyone you know own a business, offer a service, or a product that does something good for animals, humans, or this planet? If the answer is yes, then I'd like to invite you to become a member of the Animal World family of advertisers. Lately, people are telling me they think radio advertising is exorbitantly expensive. Well, that can be true, but not on Animal World. Did you know that for as little as $45 a week, you can have two professionally written and produced commercials at no cost to you running on the show? You also get a link to your website on the homepage of the Animal World website and two live interviews on the show. Frankly, you can't afford not to do this. So if you'd like to join our great Animal World family of advertisers, or if you need more information, go to www.marthanorwalk.com to send me an email or call me at 360-217-7258. That's 360-217-7258. Come on, give me a call and join the family. We'd love to have you.
Don't forget, this is Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
Hey, y'all, I'm Martha Norwalk, and we're winding down the second hour of this week's edition of Animal World, but you can find us here every Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. We're doing birds today, and the parrot lady, Debbie Goodrich, is here, and four of her best bird friends, well, two of her best bird friends, and then sometimes visiting bird friends. And so she's got...
they're still my best friends, even though they're visiting.
She's got Jesse, the blue and gold macaw, on her shoulder, and Ollie, the green wing macaw that looks like a scarlet to me, but I, you know, they're... well, look at you. Hey, it's put... that was very cool, Ollie. She just put her, she said, you said pretty bird, and she did like an eagle thing and,
yep.
and wings up. Very good.
We call it the pose.
that would be the pose. Yeah, absolutely. And then on the perch, we've got Zilla, the bouffant, big green with a red nose stash, macaw, and his best girlfriend. Right next to him is Lily, the blue-throated macaw, which looks like a blue and gold, but smaller.
Yeah.
With a blue throat instead of a black throat.
Yep.
All right. I'm getting at least to know these four kinds of... But then there's a number of them that look very similar. Well, the different types look similar to each other. Like there's the scarlet, I thought, was the scarlet macaw. But then there's the green wing that looks similar. And then there's the military.
I think they should
be
called crimson macaws myself.
Oh, crimson.
Okay. That's what I would think. You know, but scarlets are like fire red in their body. Like her red is darker red. And then the scarlets is almost an orange.
And then there's the military macaws, and they're pretty much red too.
Nope, militaries look actually almost a lot like Zilla, the bouffant's macaw. A lot of people think
except they've got a lot of red on them, as I recall, or maybe I got confused
on their tail.
Is that on their tail? Okay.
And he has it. If he turns around, you'd see it too. But his tail right now is still growing in from all of his damage.
Gotcha.
Yeah. Yeah, so you're not going to see as much of the red on him. But the military macaws are actually smaller than the bouffant's macaws. And there's, of course, a lot of subspecies of militaries as well. But they're definitely smaller, darker green, and the eyes are lighter. In a bouffant's macaw, the eyes are darker. And, of course, he's just huge. He's just massive. He's like the second largest macaw.
Of course, why she's the bird expert and I'm not. You know, see, I can tell you that stuff about dogs and a lot of cats, not about me. Woohoo!
Exciting.
Yeah, look at you guys. You guys are climbing
starting
around.
To do some exploring here.
Yeah, we're doing birdie gymnastics.
That's right.
Woohoo.
Yay.
Off. Yay. Yay. Oh, they are having a good time. At any rate, we were, did we finish up the story on these? How old are Jesse and Ollie?
Jesse and Ollie are 13 years old. They were hatched in 1999. Like I said, in Minnesota, which is kind of cute because
that's right. They came from the breeder for the rainforest.
Yep.
Restaurant business.
But it's kind of cute because Blue was found, you know, in the movie Rio, they talked about him being from Minnesota too. So I like tying that in.
Uh-huh.
Because I'm like, look, it's Tiny Soda, you know, or something like that. So, but we do try to relate to anything that comes out about parrots, including the movies that come out, try to do that. So you're going to say what these guys, so they're 13 years old now, and I've had them at my house with me. So they moved from Rainforest Cafe to my apartment, and I was working a 50-hour work week at Rainforest Cafe still. So they went from 8 hours to maybe an hour a day. And so that's why I try to tell people, yeah, they prefer 8 hours, but they can adapt to one.
Gotcha.
You know,
gotcha.
And that's what, and they don't
now,
like
what
it.
What about
but they
lifespan
can do it.
From macaws?
That's a big problem sometimes for people because they are multi-generational pets that needs to be really well known that they are. And so it's 75 to 100 years or so for some
75 macaws. To 100 years. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, so obviously these birds are going to outlive you.
Yes.
No
I'm 42.
Question.
They're 13. There's no question.
So, like, do you have a plan in place and all of that?
I don't yet.
Okay.
I am guilty of that. But it is important that people do that, that try to get them in their trust or a will or something where you know that they're going to get the care. Because even if you have sanctuaries out there that are wonderful, like Bob Dawson's that I've done emceeing for, even he's still eventually going to get old. And then what's he going to do to take over for those, you know, so and no matter what, all the birds that we have with us right now need someone to take care of them eventually. So we need children to get involved. And that's my most critical element is getting
children
involved.
Well, that's one of my it's a tough call for me. I mean, I absolutely love the birds and I do whatever I can, you know, to help the cause. And because there's so many that need help and to support places like, you know, Bob's Rescue and Sanctuary Incarnation, and boy, it's the best one I've ever seen.
It's gorgeous.
It is absolutely
phenomenal. It's like a garden of parrots.
And if they can't be in the wild, then it's kind of like the next, you know, and they can't be in homes where they're getting, you know, exquisite care and all that sort of thing. It's like the best place for them to be. But it turns my stomach to hear about still wild caught birds and when, you know, the customs will find, you know, the
oh,
birds
yeah.
trying
it's
to be so slaughtered
very,
and all of
it's
that.
Still very prevalent.
And so it's much preferable to have, you know, breeders. And of course, you've mentioned, you know, really good breeders. But I really, you know,
and
my
they're
heart
few
of,
and far between sometimes.
Yeah.
So.
My heart of hearts, though.
I hear you, sister.
Yeah. It's like, OK, now. When you logically think about that, and when I was a kid and I didn't know better, I had such a love for the animals. I mean, I came in knowing what I was going to do, and I came in with my heart focused on animals. And I had two parakeets when I was very young. But I realized in that process that I couldn't give them what they really needed. Now, of course, I would come home from school every day and let them loose in the house.
I bet your parents love that.
Yeah, we had a big house. And then pretty soon it was like, okay, you can only do that in one room. But, you know, they couldn't really be birds.
No.
And, of course, we didn't know way back then in the Dark Ages, we didn't know how to feed them properly and care for them properly. So they didn't live that long. And you know, and I had a few fish back there too, but I appreciate them from afar and do what I can to help. But I couldn't myself live with birds in cages, fish in tanks, that
Lots
sort of
people
thing.
Are
and I'm not saying
that
it's bad or it's wrong, and I try very hard not to be judgmental. But when we talk, when for like 75 to 100 year lifespan, And breeding these birds, I mean, I have to ask, why? And is this really serving the higher good of these birds?
And that's a very deep philosophical question. And also a very controversial one, of course.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm kind of in the same, believe it or not, even though they're living with me still, I live in the same conundrum continually every day. Don't do that there. All right. So basically with these guys, when you're living with them every day, you're faced with that question every single day you wake up.
Yeah.
And in my case, I think that if we leave parrots not in the face of people, like let's say we eliminate breeding completely. Let's just say in some miraculous way we can just stop it, let's say. All right. So the problem still is that if we stop breeding completely and capitulate to that, we will have such a huge problem with people still taking them from the wild. That will actually increase and be worse than it is now, not better. And not only that, but the birds that are out there are out there. How many people go out there? Not enough. And support what's out there.
Yeah.
And so if we...
Well, exactly. I mean, there isn't a good answer to this.
Yeah,
because
if you just
can't
left them...
stop it and all
yeah,
that sort of stuff. So you'd rather have responsible breeders rather than irresponsible ones. But on the other hand, hopefully, you know, people like you that are getting out there and really educating...
That's the
kids and about this, maybe they'll make more responsible choices as you know, we grow up and evolve so that eventually we evolve back out of.
Well, just to let you know, with like the movie Rio, when it came out, a lot of people were concerned about the overpopulation and people picking up parrots as pets because of the movie. At least with me anyway, with the 1,000 or so shows I've been doing, every single show I've seen since Rio, they want me to come and visit, but they don't want a bird. They want to go to Rio.
Mm-hmm.
So just to give you the idea.
Yeah.
So now some people will say that, oh, that's all they've done in the movie Rio is that they want to get a pet parrot now. There are movies that are like that have done that. But Rio was, I don't think, was one of them. People want to go see them and go back to the wild.
Yeah, it was definitely a dilemma.
Big dilemma.
I shock people a lot because even like this summer I've been asked a lot because it doesn't just apply to birds and fish.
No.
And apply to other animals as well, but we're getting through fair season, and one of the social events of the season for me is the Monroe Fair because it's in my neighborhood and it's a smaller fair. I like to go, but I can't tell you how many times I've been asked recently since it was just fair time. Well, gee, did you go see the animals? And what animals did you go see? And people are pretty shocked when I just say, you know, I unless I'm with someone that insists, I don't go see the animals. I just don't do that. And it's basically because, yes, there are some of them that are happy, but the majority of them aren't. And I have to listen to them and I have to feel it. And so I just choose not to.
Yeah. So with your empathy and stuff like that, what do you think about these guys in the room right now with you?
Oh, well, that's one of the reasons why I asked you to be here, because I really liked your energy and the birds around you, and I could feel all of that. And these guys, I'm having a great time with these guys.
Cool.
And they really, you know, I mean, they're happy and they're serving. And it's the best that they can do. And like you said, they were bred in captivity other than, even Zilla, when he was found in the container, he was too young to have been flighted in the wild.
Yeah, I don't have any understanding of that.
Even though, except when you talked about the flock of his breed that has been discovered, he said to me, I'd like to be with them. So he has a connection to the wild. Doesn't mean he could survive or whatever, but he has that wild genetics. But these guys, you know, I mean, these guys have got it as
good
as they
can. I'm trying to give him the second best possible.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. They're happy. They're doing well with you. You know, these feel good. And there's I wouldn't have you here if I didn't feel that way. I try very hard not to come from a judgment point of view.
It is.
But
it's
I have
really
to be honest
hard.
About what I feel, what
oh,
I
yeah.
hear and all of this. I mean, it was several. It was well, it was, I don't know. It was more than 10 years ago because it was back in Como times. I was getting ready to do a show about hedgehogs because they were kind of like a designer pet of the 90s and everybody was getting them. And so in preparation for that show, my crew and I went out to a father-daughter breeders in the area to meet the hedgehogs. And oh my gosh, what a wake-up call. And I usually get along great with animals. But when we got to the handling portion, I mean, they started biting me and peeing on me and pooping on me. And, you know, I know that's anger and grief and sad and all this kind of stuff. And so I started asking, what's going on? Why are you guys doing this? And they said, Martha, we don't even want to be in your country, let alone in your homes. You can't, you have to tell our story. You can't encourage this. Now, these were all bred in the States, but they come from Africa, and their genetics are Africa, and that's a different hemisphere, and that's a lot. They can have difficulty adjusting. But anyway, so, you know, canceled that show and went back, and we all and my colleague that was with me was in a different room with different hedgehogs, got exactly the same message from them.
Yeah.
So, you know, we took it from that perspective, but you know, it's not easy. So,
well, what's interesting about parrots too is that we have 30% of parrot species are critically endangered in the wild, and yes, the pet trade has a huge impact on it, sure. But what I've seen a lot of in the conservation groups is that the actual more damaging aspects are the lack of food sources, damage to the habitat,
and the habitat,
stuff like that.
Yeah, and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So
even
at any rate,
if we eliminated pet trade,
we are going to take a time out at the moment because we have to close out this second hour, start the third hour. We will turn it right around, folks, and we'll come back. And I've got to do current events. And then we will continue. We've got one more hour with the parrot lady and all these fantastically spectacular macaws. And we've got some fundraisers we've got to tell you about. And we've got to tell you about all these other organizations that Debbie's got a feather in and a beak in and a toe here and all of that. So stay with us. Animal World continues right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150.
The preceding hour of Martha Norwalk's Animal World was brought to you by Jones & Company Pets. Their goal is happy, satisfied customers enjoying happy, healthy pets.